This is a recording for the Manuel Perez teleconference with IR Strat, Thursday, July 27th, 2017, scheduled for 10 a.m. Central Time. Good morning, and welcome, everyone, to the Crédito Real Second Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, July 26, 2017. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at 5255-5228-9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the second quarter 2017. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your valuable participation today. I am pleased to inform you that during the second quarter of 2017, we were able to continue with a sequential recovery trend started at the beginning of the year, tapping into the better drive of the Mexican economy. Moving into the quarter with more detail, we recorded 422 million pesos of consolidated net income, 48 million more than that recorded in the same period last year. Our operational performance gets further stability as it is reflected in the 33 million pesos sequential decrease in the allowance for doubtful receivables and the 10 basis point reduction in our best-in-class NPL ratio. Behind the enhancement in the net income, we can find a solid origination of high-profile credits in our legacy business of payroll loans in Mexico and a strong dynamism in both Instacredit and payroll, which continued advancing in its efficient integration to our business platform. Here, it is important to note that our business drive, coupled with the execution of our funding cost pass-through strategy, more than offset the effects of an increasing reference rate. In this context, we continued striving in the solidification of our balance sheet and risk profile by fixing the rate of 2,500 million pesos tranche of our total debt this quarter. Therefore, to this date, the fixed rate portion of our debt surpasses the 50% mark, helping us to decrease our exposure to market fluctuations and bringing further stability to our financial position. Additionally, in the financial structure front, we issued in the domestic market 750 million in local notes through three different emissions, which in overall were oversubscribed, in general, 1.5 times. Proof of the appetite for our securities as the risk-adjusted return delivered by the company is gaining momentum with our better results and the execution of prudent financial initiatives, reflected last quarter in the outlook upgrade of Standard & Poor's. In this sense, we feel encouraged as quarter over quarter, with solid results and a strong balance sheet in hand, we are dissipating doubts and ifs over the business model fit of Instacredit. Looking retrospectively, after more than 1 year of the acquisition of Instacredit, we are clear of the right decision we made. In this regard, let me share with you that at the end of the second quarter 2017, Crédito Real reached an all-time high in number of customers, serving over 814,000 clients, in 6 different countries and originated more than 4,500 million pesos of new loans. All this without giving up the stability of our operating metrics, as you can see in our earnings release. Before ending my participation, I would like to take this opportunity to highlight the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores Prize Recognition for Corporate Governance of Crédito Real, which has been deemed the most qualified issuer in this important line as a result of the values and commitment to our shareholders that we live in a daily basis. To conclude, although encouraged by our results and the consolidation of the business segments of the company, we remain aware of the challenges to overcome and will continue striving to enhance our balance sheet and mitigate market risks, always seeking for the best interest of our shareholders and stakeholders. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Carlos Ochoa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding interest income, during this quarter, we reached interest income of 1.9 billion pesos, increasing 20% compared to the second quarter 16. This increase was mainly due to the growth in the loan portfolio, supported by the payroll, Instacredit, and SMEs, which contributed 60%, 26%, and 9% respectively to the consolidated interest income. Regarding expenses, average cost of funds increased to 11.1% as an increase of 370 basis points when compared to the 7.6% during the second quarter of 16. This increase is mainly explained by higher reference rate in Mexico. The financial margin increased by 8% to 1.3 billion, driven by the interest income growth. Thus, our international businesses contributed to the 45% to the consolidated financial margin. Provisions for loan losses reached 281 million during this quarter, representing 4.6% of the total loan portfolio. This increase is mainly due to the provisions adjustments made in Instacredit in order to be aligned with Crédito Real's policies. Commissions and fees collected increased 96% during the second quarter of 17 to 209 million when compared to the second quarter 16, integrated by 121 million commissions collected from Resuelve and 88 million from Instacredit. Administrative expenses reached 781 million during the second quarter, showing a 4.6 increase when compared to the second quarter 16. This growth was driven by a rise in Crédito Real's administrative expenses and an increase of 29 million associated to the used car segment. However, this effect was partially offset by a decrease in Instacredit's administrative expenses of 34 million and a decrease associated to AFS and Resuelve of 19 million. As of the second quarter of 17, net income reached 422 million pesos, showing an increase of 12.7% year over year. This keeps us on track for our 2017 guidance. Regarding the key financial ratios, ROE stood at 19.1% during the quarter, whilst ROA reached 4.9%. The quarter efficiency ratio decreased to 49% compared to 55% in the second quarter of the previous year. Since the fourth quarter of 16, the efficiency ratio calculation excludes Resuelve, since this business does not involve credit risk. This quarter, the cost of risk was 4.6% compared to the 3.7% during the second quarter of 16 as a result of the increase in the provisions for loan losses line. Regarding our loan portfolio, it increased by 13% to reach 25.1 billion pesos at the end of the second quarter of 17, driven by the double-digit growth in Instacredit, payroll, and SMEs. Our payroll portfolio increased by 18% to 16.7 billion, supported by the pensioner segment, which represents today 35% of the total payroll origination during the quarter. Almost 85% of the payroll loans originated during the quarter derived from our three main distributors in which we own equity. In addition, the NPL decreased to 1.5% during the second quarter of 17 compared to the 2.3% which we had in the previous year. Our SME portfolio increased 11% year over year, totally 1.6 billion as of the second quarter of 17. We extended both the average loan term and the average loan amount, striving to focus on larger accounts. Our used car portfolio increased 2.5% year over year, reaching 2.4 billion at the end of the second quarter, while the origination amounted 422 million in the quarter. Instacredit's loan portfolio reached 3.9 billion, showing an increase of 26% year over year and representing a 16% total loan portfolio with an NPL of 4.5%. In the line orders, we integrated durable goods and group loan businesses, which both registered a loan portfolio of 411 million during the quarter, decreasing at 62%, driven by the divestment in durable goods. Moreover, the origination reached 1.3 million, increasing 25% year over year, driven by group loans. This quarter, the consolidated non-performing loan portfolio was 2.2% compared to the 2.3% last year. The NPL improved mainly in payroll and used car businesses, is still in line with the 2-3% long-term objective as we move forward with greater loan portfolio diversification. It is also important to mention that on April the 3rd, a dividend payment was distributed, amounted 25 pesos per share, totaling an amount of almost 100 million to prove our commitment to our shareholders. With this, I conclude my remark, and let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A. Operator?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our first question will come from Ernesto Gabilondo, Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos, and thanks for taking my call. My question is about your cost of funding. I believe you have probably hedged half or more than half of your funding to fixed rates, and that cost was reflected in this quarter. So just want to know your expectations for the coming quarters. Should this cost of funding be stable, or could it increase a little bit more given the last increase in interest rates? Then I believe it's still soon to think about a potential cut in interest rates. But if this happens at some point, can you give us the sensibility on your net income from a potential cut of 100 basis points? And finally, I would appreciate if you can share with us what are the key dynamics that you're expecting during the second half of the year. Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Thank you for your call. Well, regarding the cost of funds, it's important to mention that during this quarter, the TIIE, the reference rate here in Mexico, increased by probably 50 basis points. You know, since the beginning of the year, we intended to fix the portion of to increase the fixed portion of the total debt, and at this point, with the 52% that we have, we feel comfortable. Our expectation at the beginning of the year, which is still remains today, is that the Mexican reference rate would be increased by 150 basis. That was our view. And probably we still have another 25 basis for the remaining of the year as a max. That's our view. But I don't see coming, you know, interest rate cuts, nor this year, not the next year. So I think that we will, you know, our view is that we shall not increase more of our fixed proportion of the debt. We feel comfortable the way it is, especially when you look at the curves now, you start seeing a decline over the next couple of years. So I think that we will keep it like that for the remaining of the at least for the remaining of this year. The key dynamics for the next half, for the second half of this year, are going to be focusing still on the growth part of the business. and the asset quality. We are making a lot of efforts, especially in InstaCredit, in the Central American business, you know, to improve the asset quality, to maintain the asset quality that we have on all our businesses, and more specifically in the InstaCredit business. That's going to be the key task for the remaining of the year. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. So in terms of the asset quality, NPL should remain stable at these levels. And what about your cost of risk? I noticed a nice improvement from the first quarter. So the cost of risk, where should be at the end of the year?
You know, net from the collections that we receive from the charge-off accounts, probably the cost of risk should remain about the same level that we currently have, more or less in the 4.5%, you know, net of the of that one. So we feel comfortable that way.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up about the interest rates, and I agree with you that it's soon to think about a potential cut, but given that you have already fixed 50% of the funding, have you done the sensitivity of what could happen if there is a cut of 100 basis points? What can we expect in terms of your net income?
Honestly, we haven't done it since we are not considering that one for the remaining of the year nor the next year. But in any case, I mean, the focus at the beginning of the year, as we emphasized a lot, is that was, you know, to focus our efforts on the pass-through of the increases. So evidently that should have a positive effect over on the bottom line, but we haven't performed the sensibility analysis you asked me.
Okay, no, I agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Tito Labarda, Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning. I'm Helen Carlos. Thanks for the call. A couple questions. I guess first on loan growth. We saw some good loan growth, particularly in the payroll business, where loans are growing almost 20% year over year. My question, I guess, more on InstaCredit. We saw loans actually fell. This is now the second quarter in a row where we're seeing loans falling at InstaCredit. So just want to understand a little bit more of the dynamics there. At both on the payroll lending segment, it's probably better than what we were expecting. So can that high growth you're seeing in payrolls continue? And if you can give some more color on why loans are falling are InstaCredit. And then my second question is on asset quality. Also, particularly with InstaCredit, we did see NPLs pick up quite a bit at InstaCredit. I know you mentioned that's something you're going to be focusing on, but if you can tell us a little bit more, you know, why it deteriorated so much and you know, can that improve and what you're going to do to improve that. And then also on the payroll lending business, we saw actually good asset quality. Can that continue to improve? Thank you.
Hi, Tito. Thank you for your question. In terms of growth, what we are seeing, especially on the payroll business, I mean, we still see a lot of potential to increase the penetration with the government agencies that we currently work with. So increasing the penetration is going to be one of the main effects. And the way we're trying to do that is, you know, we are improving our operational procedures in order to reach for that. So basically, we're changing the procedures over here to speed up the processes in order to keep growing the book. We've been doing that from the beginning of the year, and I think that the growth rates that we are experiencing in the payroll business are a result of these changes in the origination procedures. Again, in terms of the asset quality, the strategy that we've been following for the last couple of years is the focusing our commercial efforts on federal-level employees as well as pensioners, and that's been, you know, and the improvement in the NPLs is a proof of that one. So we will continue in that path. We will continue our commercial efforts in the same path. Regarding the InstaCredit, you know, it's important to mention the effect on the FX that you have year over year and quarter over quarter. So if you look at the quarter over quarter, the Mexican peso appreciated for over 50 cents, probably 50 cents or something like that. And year over year, it's improved from the 20, as of the second quarter of 16, the peso was pretty much at the same level. The book in InstaCredit should be growing probably 15 to 20%, which is a rate that has been growing over the last few years. And we believe that we could reach growth rates of 20% in that business with the same asset quality. We are paying a lot of attention, you know, in the origination procedures as well as on the collection part of the business, and that should be reflected over the asset quality when it comes to InstaCredit.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. That's helpful. So then I guess as the main impact on InstaCredit, why it's been declining is because of the currency. So as the currency perhaps stabilizes and with the good growth you're seeing in the payroll lending business, your guidance for loan growth for the year was 5 to 10%. Can you surpass that guidance? Or is there potential upside, I should say, to that guidance? And also, could that also mean that your net income guidance is maybe somewhat conservative at 0 to 5% if you have better loan growth than expected?
You know, if you look at the growth rate, the combined growth rate of the book of over 13%, I mean, we believe that we can continue with this same trend for the remaining of the year. So probably, I mean, if we continue this one, probably we should be growing the book by 15% by the end of the year.
So we should use a 15% as a new guidance for loan growth?
No, I think it's too early to say. It's too soon to say that one, but we believe that we can continue with this same trend for the remaining of the year.
Okay, fair enough. And then I didn't understand the last thing you mentioned on the InstaCredit, on the asset quality. Was there something specific that led to the spike in NPLs or...?
No, that's. I mean, it's something we see it as something normal in that one. If you remember when we consolidated the business, you know, if you take a look at the figures when we consolidated first a year ago of that one, the NPLs of InstaCredit were pretty much in the same range as they are currently at this point. So it should be pretty much stable.
Okay, so then maybe the low NPLs that we saw in InstaCredit were not sustainable. This 4.5% level is more what we should expect for InstaCredit?
It's pretty much, I would say that it's more in the 4%.
4%, okay. All right, that's helpful. All right, thanks a lot, Carlos.
Thank you, Tito.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Claudia Benavente, Santander.
Follow-up question. I was wondering, since you hold an important gap of assets less liabilities linked to a fixed interest rate, how much of it is hedged, and should you have the benefit from the reprice to high interest rates that that we could expect for 2018? That's it.
Hi, Claudia. I didn't get the first part of your question.
I was wondering, since you have a positive gap of assets less liabilities linked to a fixed interest rate, if we should observe a benefit on your results next year, considering these assets should reprice more than liabilities next year, or if you have that position hedged.
No, definitely the if the. I mean, we think, as I was telling earlier, we think that the hike process, the hiking interest rates here in Mexico are almost done, at least for this year. And as you can see from the trend on our yield and especially on our NIM as well, you might see the effect of the repricing effects on all of our products. So the strategy of passing through the interest rate hikes we are already perceiving that on our P&L. We feel comfortable, as I was saying, we feel comfortable with the fixed portion of the debt that we have, and if at some point the interest rates decrease, well, that should benefit the company.
No, sorry, that was not my question. The thing is that you have more assets linked to a fixed interest rate than liabilities. And the duration is of about 3 years, I understand. So they should start repricing to the higher level of current interest rates starting 2018. So I was wondering what would be the benefit of that position, or if that position is currently hedged, so we might not see any benefit from that.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood your question. Yes, you are right about that one. All of our products, especially except for the SMEs, are at a fixed rate. So basically, the hike in the interest rate had a negative effect over the last few quarters, and that's why we were repricing that one. But that's the nature of our business, right? In these segments of the population, and especially with these products, all the products are at a fixed rate.
But probably from 2018, we should see all those assets revised to the higher level of interest rates, right?
Yes.
As those assets expire, therefore we could see probably important benefits due to that positive gap.
That's right. I mean, that's right. So you know, the main challenge at the beginning of the year was the profitability was the main challenge, because you know most of our products were priced at a lower interest rate, and we were already with a much higher cost of funds. So now that that portfolio is it's paying down, so you start to see an increase in the yield because of the pass through that we've been doing lately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Claudia.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phone now. Our next question will come from Velasco German, BBVA.
Hello, good morning, Angela and Carlos. Thanks for the call. Just a follow-up question. Carlos, you mentioned that the cost of funds is currently at 11.1%. So should we expect this level to be the highest level for this year, or should we expect another increase in the cost of funds? And on the net income, guidance, at the beginning of the year you mentioned that it is probably that you would grow between 5 to 10%, so I was wondering if there is any chance you can increase your net profit above that level. Thank you.
Hi, Germán. I think that the cost of funds should be stabilizing at these levels, and this is due to two facts. First, our view is that the hiking spree in the reference rate here in Mexico is coming to an end. We only expect to have 25 more bips for the remaining of the year. So that should be about. And on the other hand, again, due to the efforts that we've taken to fix, over half of our debt, probably the cost of funds should be stable at this level that we currently see. In terms of the guidance, I mean, what we expect is that we expect that the trends that we are seeing for this quarter should continue for the remaining of the year. That's our view on those.
Okay, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Germán.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Benjamin Thur, Barclays.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Angel Carlos. Thank you very much for taking my question. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on the business in the U.S. I mean, I assume that the business is still, well, let's say, not in the best of a shape in terms of demand growth and the whole environment, still not eased. But we've seen obviously a decline in the loan portfolio, and I guess it's also a lot of FX related here, similar to what you've mentioned just on InstaCredit. But the fact that, and thank you very much, by the way, much appreciated, you now break down the three different regions, Mexico, Central America, U.S., it shows there was a significant deterioration in the net loss on the U.S. business. So just to understand, I mean, obviously it's challenging, but what is your outlook for the U.S. business? Where do you want to take that? And, I mean, when do you believe this business is actually going to contribute again in terms of net income instead of being a drag on results? Thanks.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for your question. Well, overall, I would say that the business in the States is a very important element of the for the company. As we've mentioned very often, the view for the our view for the business in the States is that at some point, probably one third of the business within 4 to 5 years is going to be in the States. That's the potential that we see. Having said that, I mean, we are still facing the challenges of a growing business. I mean, if you look at the effect, I mean, if you look at the effect that on the expenses side, for example,
yep.
leaving aside the FX, well, the expenses on setting new branches is over there. That's been taking a lot of cash, and that reflects on the net income of that business. On the other hand, as you might see, as you can imagine, this year has been very challenging due to the changes in the political landscape in the States. So basically, we've been very cautious in terms of loan origination, and that's had an effect over the book. But we prefer to be cautious with this until we have a more clear picture about what's going to happen over there. But in any case, we believe that, as I was telling you, we believe that definitely is going to be one of the key elements of growth. I would say, and probably to wrap this up, the bright part of the story is that if you look at the percentage of the net income that comes from the businesses outside Mexico, that amounts for the 45%. And only in the case of the U.S. business, that amounts to close to the 10%. So that trend should continue, and that shows the importance of the businesses outside Mexico for Crédito Real.
Okay, perfect. And then just to confirm, I mean, you've now basically, you grouped together what used to be, I guess, groups and Durable is still on the way to basically go to zero, so we can assume that the majority of what is currently in other is basically what used to be the group loans, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And we made those changes in the presentation for simplification.
Yeah, that's fine. Perfect. Thank you very much. That's all on my side.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Our next question will come from John Howe, Morgan Stanley.
Hey, good morning, Carlos and Angel. Thanks for the call. A lot of the questions have been asked already, but two quick things. Is there any... You know, considering that you seem to be digesting Instacredit, are there other areas of growth or potential M&A that you guys might be thinking at this point?
Hi, John. We believe that we've been doing well with the digesting, as you say, of Instacredit. As you see the effect of the businesses of all the M&A that we did in the past are starting to see the benefit of those, and in those terms I think that I'm certain that the inorganic growth is a key element of growth for the company, and in that sense, we're always looking for opportunities, and that's it. So if at some point we see something that interests us and that aligns with the main strategy of the company, we might pursue it.
Okay. And then lastly, we know you successfully refinance a lot of U.S. dollar notes last year. Is there any thoughts about extending some of your shorter-term paper into maybe longer-term dollar notes or anything like that?
Well, I mean, that's If you look at the liability, you know, the duration on the liability side, which is close to the 4 years, which is 3.7 years, and if you compare that one to the asset side, which is below 2 years, which is way below 2 years, we feel comfortable that way it is. So basically right now what we are doing is focusing on the most efficient form of funding and not focusing ourselves in the duration.
Okay, so more of the local market type issuance, if anything.
Yeah, one of the advantages of the local market is that that's the most efficient in terms of cost. And what we've been doing lately, as you might see, is that we are issuing on the short term. You know, we are issuing 250 million pesos monthly with the same duration. That means 6 months on the average. So we will continue to do that strategy for the remaining of the year until we start rolling it over, like the shorter term notes in the local market.
Okay. Thanks, Carlos. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. Our next question will come from Natalia Torfield, J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, Carlos. My question is actually a follow-up on the M&A question. Do you have any updates on Crédito Maestro? And do you know by any chance how much an acquisition of the entire portion of Crédito Maestro would impact your capitalization?
Hi, Natalia. No, basically we're still working on that one, and probably the main element for that decision is going to be how much money can we save from consolidating Crédito Maestro, but we still haven't made a decision in that sense.
And do you have, because I understand, I think you have until the end of this year for a decision, or you have an option to buy, I think, this year, and then they have an option to sell next year. Do you mind just reminding me of the conditions?
Yes, that is correct. We have the option. I mean, we have the call option for the remaining of the year, whereas our partners in Crédito Maestro, they have the put option for the next year.
All right. But still, you haven't made any decision on that.
No, as I was telling you, that's still a work in progress. I mean, we are still analyzing all the benefits that we could get from consolidating that one. And if that's accretive for the company, if that's positive, we might pursue it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Gabriel Nabrega, UBS.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My question is more on margins. I just want to get a little bit more color of what you guys are expecting for the rest of the year, and do you expect your margins to be flat in 2018? Thanks.
I mean, we believe that given all the pass-through that we are seeing, that we are already seeing the effects of the pass-through in many of our products and in the payroll business, and with the portion of the debt that we currently have fixed, we believe that we could sustain the NIMs for the remaining of the year in the range of the 20 or 21%. Also, that's going to be positively affected when the integrated product gains weight within our books. But overall, in short, I would say that we expect the NIMs to be in the 20% or probably a little bit higher for the remaining of the year.
And should we expect that for 2018 as well?
I would say that for the next year, for 2018, especially in the second half of 2018, by that time, we will see the whole effect of the repricing in the payroll business. So definitely that should be improving for the remaining, for the 2018, and especially for the second half of 2018, probably should improve.
All right, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. With no questions in the queue, the question and answer session concludes. Thank you all for being in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.